Thanks for listening to the Gospel Church Podcast. We hope that this podcast is used by God to help us all grow closer to Jesus Christ. If you would like to get connected to our church or give to the mission, you can visit our website at thegospelchurch.com. Now for this week's sermon.
Now that Christmas has passed, it is time to start taking down your Christmas decorations and taking down the Christmas tree. Now, for me and my family, we have always been an artificial tree family, right? And we've never gone down the real tree path. Maybe we will one day, but I was talking with a friend the other day about that debate. Should we have a real tree or a fake tree? And I started looking up some stats about Christmas trees. And what I found is that 82% of Christmas trees on display, this is back in 2018, were artificial, while just 17.9% were real trees. So if you are in the artificial camp, which we are, you are in the majority. And then for the real tree camp, you have 17.9%. Now there is another 0.1% out there that I have absolutely no clue what they're doing, but I would be very interested to hear more about that. But I was looking up these stats and I kind of went on a rabbit trail and I found a few other fun ones that I thought you might find interesting. Once again, back in 2018, U.S. households spent an average of $1,536 during the Christmas season. So now you hear that stat and you're saying, we need to have a budgeting conversation. So you're welcome on jumpstarting that conversation. The next stat is that 46% of people have lied about liking a gift. That means if you gave someone a gift this year and they said, I love it, there is a 50-50 chance they were lying to your face. So you're welcome for that encouragement. And then more than 60% of Americans buy their gifts a week before Christmas. And once again, more than 60% of U.S. consumers prefer to buy their Christmas gifts online. For both of those, thank you, Amazon.com, right? So as fun as those stats are to hear, there's a reason I share those with you. Because during the Christmas season, there is so much going on when it comes to shopping, decorations, traveling to see friends and family, and everything else that's going on that we can so easily skip over the fact that this whole Christmas season is supposed to be about the birth of Jesus, not everything else. And I'm not dissing all of those other things or saying that they are wrong. I actually love all those things, except for the whole spending a whole lot of money part, right? But if we are not careful, we can fall into a trap of consumeristic Christmas and forget about the miraculous story about the King of Kings coming down from heaven and stepping into our world to rescue those who are separated from God. So before we leave this Christmas season for 2021 and head into celebrating the new year and kicking off 2022, I want to share one last reflection about the Christmas story, specifically looking at how Jesus, the King of Kings, humbled himself and left his throne in heaven to rescue us. And we could actually boil down the Christmas story and say it is the story of a king leaving his throne and trading it in for a cradle that would soon lead to a cross so that he could bring his enemies back with him into his throne room. And recently, I found myself thinking a lot about kings. Leading up to the season of Advent, I've been reading through the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, and then 1 and 2 Kings. And these four books are documenting the story of Israel's search for a king. And it starts out with Saul, and then it documents the story of David, and then Solomon, and then it talks about the demise of the empire and the kingdom due to the disobedience of the kings of Israel. And on top of this, I went back and I rewatched all of the Lord of the Rings movies. I actually heard that somebody say that the Lord of the Rings are Christmas movies because they have elves in them. So you know what? I decided I need to watch all of those leading up to Christmas. So all that to say, I have been thinking a lot about kings and thrones and royalty. And throughout history, from biblical times to our day, a throne has been a representation of power, authority, and rulership. A throne is off limits to the citizens of the kingdom. For example, in the story of Esther, we see that she risks her life by going before the king on behalf of the lives of her people. And this was incredibly dangerous. If the king did not want her to speak, he could have sentenced her to death for simply being in his presence without his permission. That's the power of the throne on full display. And then in our day, when we hear the word throne, our minds might jump to movies and shows like Game of Thrones, which I haven't seen, but I know that it's particularly full of envy and murder. Or maybe you hear of the term royalty and you think of the crown and you think of the Queen of England. And if you've ever been to Buckingham Palace, you know that it is really cool to look at on the outside, but you cannot just strut up to the front door and ask to go in. There is not an open door policy. There is a separation of royalty from everyday people. And this is true for us and our relationship with God as well. We are separated from the King of Kings due to our sin. And if we were to approach the throne of God in our own power, we would be cast out. There is a separation between man and God because he is holy and we are not. He is perfect and we are sinful. Just think about Isaiah 6, when Isaiah had a vision of being in the throne room of God, and his only response to being in God's presence was this. He says, "Woe is me, for I am ruined because I am a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips." But then we read the New Testament and we see that something has changed. Hebrews 4:16 says that Christians can approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. And for some reason, we now have the ability to not only approach the throne of God, but we can do so with boldness and confidence. Now, why in the world is that? Well, that's Hebrews 4:16. Right before that, in Hebrews 4:15, it says this: "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Simply put, the story of Christmas gives us the ability to access the throne of God because Jesus left his throne to make us children of the King of Kings. It is only through the incarnation, which is just a word that means Jesus putting on flesh and becoming a human, that we are able to draw near to the throne with confidence. And when the Son of God became a man, he flipped everything upside down. And only because Jesus came in the form of a man do we now have a Savior who sympathizes with our weaknesses and struggles. I love the way that C.S. Lewis put it when he said this. He said, "The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God." Let me say that again. This is C.S. Lewis. He says, "The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God." Because of Christmas, the throne of God that was off limits has been made accessible through a baby. And this baby would live a human life and be tempted in the same ways that we are, yet without sin. And he would die a death on the cross that should have been our own. And then he would be raised to life in order to bring us eternal life. So Jesus went from Son of God to Son of Man, to throne to cradle, to alive to crucified. But then he went from dead to alive. And then he went from grave back to his throne. And in all of his work, we now have an open door policy to the throne room of God. And the King of Kings took on the humility of a human child in order to give us access to his throne, full access. Tim Keller helps us understand what this access looks like when he said, "The only person who dares wake up a king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is a child." We have that kind of access. And this is one of my favorite quotes. It shows that not only can we approach the throne of God, but we do so as his children. And he wants us to be in his presence. It brings him joy when we enter into his presence and enjoy him. And his plan from the very beginning of history, all the way from Genesis 1, was for his son Jesus to come in the form of a man to make a way for us to have a relationship with God and be reconciled to him. And that is the good news that we celebrate at Christmas. God did not leave us in our sin to be eternally separated from him. But he loved us so much that he sent his own son to come and rescue us. The creator of the world stepped into his creation to die for those who he created. And he stepped down in humility to bring us back up with him in his glory. So this morning, here's the one point that I want us to see. The one point is this, is that because the Son of God left his throne and became a man, we get to approach God's throne as sons of God. Let me say that again. Because the Son of God left his throne and became a man, We get to approach God's throne as sons of God. And with a little bit of time that we have together this morning, I just want us to see how Jesus' birth displays God's radical love for us through his humility to leave heaven to come to earth to save us. So if you have a Bible at home with you or wherever you're watching, feel free to grab it and turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 5 through 11. And Paul here is writing many years after Jesus' death. And he's looking back on his life and he's reflecting on how Jesus conducted his life and how he walked in humility. So Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 says this: "Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant and taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Now, this passage is one of the most amazing passages in the whole Bible. It was a huge deal to the early church. It appears to be an early hymn or a poetic creed that perhaps was used liturgically in ancient worship. Some propose that it was written by an early Jewish community in Jerusalem, and it was sung during the Lord's Supper, whenever they would take the Lord's Supper together. And it seems to have a unified structure, starting with Jesus in heaven on his throne and ending in the same way, of Jesus being back in heaven on his throne. But it hinges on verse 9. And you can think of it as a U-shape or a V-shape. And with verse 9 being the bottom, where it says, "He humbled himself to the point of death, even death on the cross." There should be an image on the screen for you to see exactly what the structure looks like. But this passage emphasizes the stunning humility of Jesus, who became a servant and died on behalf of sinners to the glory of God. And as a result of his death on a cross and resurrection, he is now exalted as the true king. He is back on his throne and he is now our savior. And if we think of the structure of this passage as a three-act play, it goes humiliation, crucifixion, to exaltation. Humiliation to crucifixion to exaltation. And let's just walk through this three-act play quickly. So the first act is the humiliation of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying Jesus is being made fun of here or is being embarrassed necessarily. The definition of humiliate that means this, is to reduce someone to a lower position in one's own eyes or their own eyes. And in the Christmas story, Jesus took on a lower position. Just look at verse 6. It says that Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. So the play begins with Jesus in heaven on the throne. And we don't have time to go through a theological deep dive into the Trinity, but Jesus is fully God. There was never a time when Jesus did not exist. He has no point of origin. He is the Alpha and Omega. John says in John 1, he was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. He is creator. He wasn't created. And this is what we saw in our I Am series, is that Jesus claimed not to just be a good teacher or a good moral teacher as well. He said, "I am God. I am who I say I am." He is claiming to be God himself. So Jesus is fully God. And even though he eternally existed in the form of God, he did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. So in his love and mercy for his own creation, he steps down off of his throne in heaven to be born into our world as a baby. Verse 7 says this. It says, "Instead he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity." Now, this is not normal king behavior. Kings do not normally serve those that they are ruling over. They normally ask to be served by those that they rule. But our king emptied himself and took on the form of a servant. He goes from creator of the universe to baby. Now, my wife Allison and I were about to welcome a baby girl. And this is actually being pre-recorded. So hopefully at the time that this is, you're actually watching this, Lord willing, we will have a baby girl in our home and we've welcomed her and we will be needing a whole lot more coffee and be sleep deprived. But from the moment that our daughter is born, she is dependent upon us for life. And this is exactly how Jesus entered into the world. God himself took on the form of a baby. And just think of a baby. Jesus himself, the creator of the universe, could not walk, could not talk, could not feed himself, could not clean himself. He is fully dependent upon Mary and Joseph to take care of him and keep him alive. The God that created the whole world and could move mountains couldn't even stand up and walk and move himself to the other side of the room. This is the greatest picture of humility that there has ever been. And this is exactly what Paul means when he said he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And what king leaves his throne and takes on the humble posture of his people? A king who radically loves his people. This is why John says in 1 John 4, he says, God's love was revealed among us in this way, that God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And he took on the likeness of humanity and was born in a manger and was cared for by his very creation. And for 30 years, he lived in obscurity. Then at 30 years old, he issues in his ministry, which lasts 3 years. And at the end of those 3 years, that leads us into the second act of the play of Philippians 2, which is the second act is the crucifixion of Jesus. So humiliation and then crucifixion. And during the Christmas season, we celebrate the birth of Christ, and for great reason. We sing songs that celebrate Jesus entering into the world. We sing joy to the world. We sing Emmanuel declaring that God is now with us. But what we must remember is that as great as Jesus's birth was, the reason that we have joy and the reason that we have hope and the reason that we sing is because Jesus's birth had one purpose, and that was to end in his death. This is why Paul says, and when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. Christ's whole life was marked by humility. Just look at his birth. He wasn't born in an influential city like Rome or Alexandria or Jerusalem. He was born in Bethlehem, a feeding trough in Bethlehem. And he lived for 30 years in relative obscurity. Then in his earthly ministry, he was known for loving the unlovable people and humbly serving them. So he chose to humble himself, but he did not stop there. He humbled himself to the point of death, even to death on a cross. And at his death, he was nailed to a cross alongside two criminals. At every turn, Jesus chose humility. And even in his death, it was the most vile of all. It was a crucifixion. And the phrase, even to death on a cross, serves as the rock bottom of this play. But it wasn't by accident. It was God's plan all along. Jesus, the pre-existent one, the Lord of Lords, died on the cross for sinners. And he endured the physical agony of the cross, the abandonment, the shame, and he received the wrath of God in the place of sinners, in place of you and me. But his death only lasted 3 days because on the third day, he rose. And that leads us to the third act of the play and the final act, which is this, is the last act is the exaltation of Jesus. So Jesus was humiliated, he was crucified, but then he was exalted. And shortly after Jesus rose from the grave, he ascended back into heaven and he returned to his throne. And like we said, it is a V or U shape. And he starts on the throne and he ends on the throne. But something eternity shifting happens at the bottom, at the worst state of this story. Because at that cross, Jesus was able to bring those that he is saving with him back to the throne. His very enemies, he is dying for them to bring them back with him into the throne room of God. Look at what Paul says in verses 9 through 11. He says, for this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the hope and joy that we get to sing about at Christmas. We now have a way to God. As we talked about in our I Am series, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if we call on the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name, and bow our hearts to Him and give our lives to Him and ask Him to be our Lord and Savior, we will have life. We have a way back to God because of the cross. And now when God looks at you, He doesn't see your sin. He sees Jesus. He views you as His son or daughter who has full access to the King of Kings as Father. You are a son or daughter of the King of Kings because the King of Kings Himself came down and took the form of a baby to bring you back up in His own exaltation to save you and rescue you and give you a way back to God. Because the Son of God left His throne and became a man, we get to approach God's throne as sons of God. And for the last 4 weeks, we have looked at and studied the four themes of Advent, which are hope, peace, joy, and love. And what I want us to see this morning and be reminded of is that we can receive these things because Jesus left His throne in heaven and emptied Himself so that He could die on the cross in our place and give us access to His throne and make us sons and daughters of the King. Let me just wrap up our time with this great quote from R.G. Lee. He was the pastor of Bellevue Baptist in Memphis, Tennessee, back in the 1920s to the 1960s, long tenure at a church in Memphis. And as he was reflecting on the story of Christmas, and it fits so well in Philippians 2, I just want to read this in its whole. It's going to be a little bit of a longer quote, but stick with me. He said this, he said, "Christ, who in eternity rested motherless upon the Father's bosom, and in time rested fatherless upon a woman's bosom, clasping the Ancient of Days who had become the Infant of Days. What deep descent! From the heights of glory to the depths of shame, from the wonders of heaven to the wickedness of earth, from the exaltation to humiliation, from the throne to the tree, from dignity to debasement, from worship to wrath, from the halls of heaven to the nails of Carth, from the coronation to the curse, from the glory place to the gory place. In Bethlehem, humility and glory in their extremes were joined. Born in a stable, cradled in a cattle trough, wrapped in swaddling clothes of poverty, no room for Him who made all rooms, no place for Him who made and knows all places. Oh, deep humiliation of the creator born of the creature woman. But in His descent was the dawn of mercy. Because we cannot ascend to Him, He descends to us." And before you go on your day, please know this, is that there is a God who radically loves you. And it doesn't matter how much you've messed up. It doesn't matter your past. He actually knows all of that. And despite your sin and mess, He stepped off of His throne and He entered into this world in the form of a baby so that He could die on the cross in your place to bring you back up with Him to the throne room of God and into the presence of God. And my hope for you this morning is that you would be reminded in a brand new way that Jesus radically loves you. He loves you so much that He emptied Himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when He had come as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. This is why we are full of hope and joy during the Christmas season. Let me pray for us.